I'm going to take my text from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. And I would like to announce I'll be preaching on a message entitled The Final Lap. The Final Lap. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. Pastor, would you please pray over the message? I have so often heard this text, these verses, in reference to somebody's end of life. And this was really the end of the Apostle Paul's life. He was expecting shortly to be with the Father in glory. But what I want to focus on here is he said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And because I have, God, who is a righteous judge, shall reward me. What an incredible testimony. What an incredible steadfast assuredness of his soon-to-be disposition. But he was quite confident. He didn't say, oh, I stumbled and bumbled through life. But if by God's grace and mercy, I struggled here to the end. That's not what he said. The Apostle Paul said, I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. And I want to be that way when I finish my life. And we don't know how long we have on this earth. But I don't want to be on my in my latter years thinking, oh, if only I had. If only I had done this. If I had only done that. I'm reminded... I often use military analogies because they're so good. In the Marine Corps, I had one of the early given leaders in our platoon. Marine Corps Recruit Depot San Diego was a man who served 2 years in the United States Army. And so he was like a natural, we look to him for leadership. He's been through this kind of stuff before. And he didn't last very long in recruit leadership. But somebody asked him, at the end of 3 months of Marine Corps boot camp, was it a lot different from Army boot camp? He said, physically? No. Mentally? Oh, yeah. Because they build you up, they break you down. They build you up, they break you down. I hated running. I still hate running. I actually get to where I can run pretty well because I walk a lot at work, but I still don't really care for running all that much. But we would go on these runs. What we would do is we would put on our PT gear. We would run from the barracks about half a mile. Then we'd take off our water bottles and everything, and we would ground our gear. So we were just wearing our running shoes, PT shorts, and a T-shirt with our platoon number across the front of it. And we would take off running in step, yelling, screaming, and shouting. We'd run around the base. We'd go along the fence, the perimeter, and then we would come back near to our gear. We begin to think, all right, the end is in sight. We would run right beside our gear. And your heart's thinking, oh, Lord, when are we ever going to end? My heart's about to explode. And they would take you off on another circuitous route, and they would bring you back by the gear again. And the third or fourth time they would come by the gear, you would see somebody, as soon as we crossed where the gear was, they would just go, oh! And no matter what the drill instructor yelled and screamed and shouted at them, they were done. They had given up, not running anymore. And then, of course, they would circle back around and say, see all those guys? They quit on you, on the Marine Corps. And they would pretty much belittle them to everybody. But you learned real quick to not to expect, oh, the end is in sight, to just endure until they say it's over. Talk about mental toughness. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 9. Keeping in mind the thought, the final lap. The Apostle Paul again. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles? And as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth the warfare at any time at his own charges? Who planteth the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen? Or saith it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that planteth should plow in hope. He that ploweth should plow in hope. And he that thresheth in hope, and should be the partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing that we shall reap of your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power of you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live in the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be done so unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should be make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. And to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. And to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak, came I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Sounds like once saved, always saved to me.
No, not exactly. But what I'm saying here, Paul finished his fight. He finished his course. But he had this mindset all of his life. He said, I have power to lay back. I have power to say, you know what, I'm going to say it, sit in one spot. Y'all can send me some tithes and I'll be fat and happy. But he didn't use that. He said, you know what? It's uncomfortable for me, but I wish to preach the gospel. I wish to share with as many people as I can. To those that are under the law, I'll be a law keeper. To those that are without the law, I'll be as those without the law. Those that are weak, I'll be weak with them. I will become all things to all people so that I may save some. And he wasn't saying that he would save them, that he may reach them with the gospel. I love that movie, Master and Commander, To the Far Side of the World. I read the books after I saw the movie, and I really enjoyed the books. One of those things where Patrick O'Brien, he wrote all these books. He wrote like 19 of them. He died before he finished writing them. So it doesn't come to an end. It's just kind of the final book, the first three chapters were handwritten, and they published the first three chapters of the final book, and I read them. Man, we never know what happened. Each book was complete. But, you know, the final disposition of the characters, what happened? You know, no happily ever after or whatever. It was just kind of the end of the thing. But I love the portrayal in the movie of the impending disaster and doom and fear of closing with the enemy and firing upon them while they're firing upon you. And there's a scene where an old sailor who's probably spent his whole life in the midsection of a ship turns to his comrades and goes like this. And tattooed across his fingers are "hold fast." And then he turns to his combat duties. And I was so struck by that. Wow! That's exactly what we need. That's exactly what we should have. That desire to hold fast. To be where God wants us to be. And to be what God wants us to be. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the adversity. The Lord is my strength and song. And is become my salvation. That's Psalm 118:14, not Psalm 188:14, as I put in my notes earlier. Natalie corrected me. There's no Psalm 188. It's Psalm 118. Earlier this week, I was awake at night. Man, I was so troubled. Not about work. It was about personal stuff, family stuff. Perhaps lack of being there for my family, but that was pretty much exactly what it was. But I was troubling over this and troubling over that and laying there wide awake and staring at the ceiling. And you know what? I finally got to a place where I said, Lord, I love you. You know all about this. And I trust you. Lord, I'm giving it to you. And I went to sleep. And I woke up in the morning thinking, why did I let myself get cornered like that? Why was I laying there awake for 45 minutes staring at the ceiling, feeling sorry for myself? Why? So I guess I could come to a place where I said, Lord, I love you and I trust you. Here it is, Lord. My wife and I were driving to the gym this morning and I was talking about things and my thoughts and feelings, and Bridget looks at me and goes, did you really expect that you could step out on faith and there wouldn't be any adversity that comes along with it? Can you really say that, you know, I believe in the Lord and not the post office, and tell people that the Lord told me to stay here and tell people that, you know, this is where God wants me to be? I've told my coworkers that. She said, did you really think that you could say all that stuff and there wouldn't come some adversity along with that? Gee, why didn't I think of that before I said all that stuff? Wow. God gives us helpmates. They are mates, and they are helpful. God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty, who hath vexed my soul? All while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you till I die. I will not remove mine integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast, and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. Let mine enemy be as the wicked, and he that rises up against me as the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained when God taketh away his soul? Will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God? I will teach you by the hand of God that which is with the Almighty. I will not conceal. Who said that? Job. You know, I was taught in seminary. You know how you get, you know, when you open the Bible, what's the first thing you read? You read, in the beginning God created. And then you read through the law and the prophets, and you read through all the historical books, and then you read through a bunch of the prophets. And then you get to this book of Job, which most believe is the oldest writing in any language, anywhere in the world. It is truly, incredibly ancient. Moses might have brought a copy of the book of Job with him, out of Egypt with him. How do we know those things? They find copies and fragments of it throughout parts of the world. And also, there's no reference to the law. There's no reference to the people of the, you know, of God. It was before God called Abraham. Or if he did, it was before there was any record of that. This book of Job is truly incredibly ancient. How old is it? We really don't know. Far older than anything else that exists in all of human knowledge. God knew Job. At the beginning of the book of Job, what does he say to the adversary? Have you considered my servant Job? God knew Job was faithful. Did Job know that he was faithful, that he had great faith in the Lord? I believe that he did. He was an effective priest for his whole family. He said, if any of my sons have sinned, I'll offer double offerings for them, so that God may forgive them. I lift them up in prayer. I pray and fast before the Lord constantly. So, God knew Job was faithful, and Job had faith in God. So why all the adversity and why all the trouble? Because nobody knew Job's faithfulness to God until the adversity came. The people around Job didn't know how deep his faith was. His wife didn't know how deep his faith was. His friends didn't know how deep his faith was. And at the end of it all, Job really didn't know how deep his faith was. I mean, he knew he had it, but God rebuked him at the end too. And what happened to Job in the end of all of this? He came forth as a better man. And we have the clearest, finest record of faith anywhere. Job was imperfect, but he had nearly a perfect faith in God. He believed in God. And through all the adversity and through all the temptations and all the things that he saw, this was near the end of the book of Job. And what did he say? I won't lie. I won't cause people to sin. I won't forsake my righteousness. I will be true to God through it all. What an incredible, incredible testimony of faith. Zechariah prophet of Zechariah. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call upon my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God.
I've said it before in Sunday school. I've said it before if you've ever been around me long. How do you know somebody has love? Because they said, I love you. The most commonly lied three words in any vocabulary. I love you. No, you don't. You love the way that they make you feel. You love the way they look. You love the way they provide for you. You love the the way, whatever. I'm thoroughly convinced people really don't know what love is until you've been through some adversity. Really? How do you know you truly love somebody? When they've done you wrong and hurt you and been anything but lovable, and you still love them. I think when people get married, they set on this happily ever after journey. Woohoo! You don't really think, wow, it's going to be a bed of roses from here on out. No, not always. But as you overcome the adversities of life together, you show love and you grow in love. You know, Bridget and I have been married 18 years. And there are things now that we tolerate and persevere through that early in our marriage we probably would have
I'm done with that. I'm so out of here.
Now we look at each other and say, well, we'll be fine. We'll get through this. It'll be okay. Why? Because we've shown love for each other through the adversity. How do you know that you truly love somebody? When the adversity comes, you stick together. When the adversity comes, you're there together in it, helping each other through it. Right? I mean, you can say, oh, I love you so much. I give them gifts. I do this, that, and the other. Are you there for them? You love your children. Is it because you can provide for them? No. Is it because they're little mini yous, perhaps? I mean, there's some of that, but you love them, right? You do anything for them? Do they ever stop being your children? No. Regardless of what sin they're in or how much hurt they do you, you love them, right? God reveals our love and our faith and our steadfastness in Him. How? When we go through adversity. When people around you know of your faith, and they say, look at that poor guy. Look at all that terrible stuff that's going on in his life. Just watch and see if he crumbles. Well, he says that he goes to church. And he talks about preaching the gospel. You know, all this bad stuff's happening. We'll see. He really is. What he says that he is. I'm gonna close with the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Why are you thinking like this, Nate? Because I'm learning, and I'm growing, and I know my God will get me. Absolutely, positively, I know it. How do you know that, Nathan? Because my God has been my God
for more of my life that he wasn't my God. And my God has brought me through so much adversity and so much stupidity and so much immaturity. Think he's going to throw me away now? Would he fail me now? No, absolutely, positively not. Could I possibly fail him? Yes, I most likely will. But is he ever going to stop being my God? No, he will not. And when I testify that he is my God, when I say that my God is able, I do not believe my God, despite how poor a Christian I may be, you know, you're very self-conscious about your own faults and failings. Regardless of how inadequate I may feel, I know that my God will not allow those around me to see somebody they esteem to be faithful fail and fall. My God will not destroy that testimony. It's not my testimony, it's His testimony. I am the true vine and my Father the husbandman. Every branch that is in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Nada. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye may bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. There's so much there. You know what I've learned? When I'm downcast and when I'm in the dumps, is it because God called out my faults and failings? Is it because God brought all these things to my mind? No. It's because I start thinking, oh, I screwed that up. Wish I had done it. Wow. Oh. Wish I could just learn that lesson and get it right the next time. If I sit here and stress about it all night long, then I'll really be ready for it next time around. And by taking thought, can you add one cubit to your stature? No, you cannot. God doesn't bring those things up. They are under His blood. You are justified. If you're feeling down, take it to Jesus. Let Him take it away. As far as the east is cast from the west. Does God bring these things back to our mind? No. We have a tendency to do it to ourselves.
The adversary has a tendency to do it. Make sure, hey, do you remember that time? Do you remember when this, that, the other? Whew.
Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servant, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me. You didn't choose Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ chose you. He doesn't just choose you. He'll choose whoever will. Everyone. He loves you. He wants to bring you into his family.
Yes, you have to choose to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Yes, you absolutely have to. But you can only choose him because he chose you first.
You get a little excited sometimes. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I have commanded you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And pastor was talking about that preacher whose son committed suicide. And the world delights in glee. And they dance in joy. They can't wait to trumpet that. Oh, you know that pastor? You know his son, he killed himself. Shows you how much that pastor, that evil, hate-filled bigot. Ooh. It's karma. That's what they would say. I saw a headline before I left for church tonight. Said the vitriol of the world adds to the grief of that family. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own.
Turn that situation around. You get somebody who's in the world, who pops a bunch of pills and drowns in her bathtub. And she is lifted up as a glorious angel. Surely, surely she is in the arms of God this moment.
I had no intention of saying that, but it's amazing how remarkable the two stories are treated differently. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If ye have persecuted me, they will persecute you. And if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. I shared this morning in Sunday school, they're talking about the lack of people going to church and they want to avoid labels, and I think that's true. That's absolutely true. You know why I think that people are stepping away from the Christian faith? Because it makes them mindful of their sin. Because the sin that they would do doesn't feel comfortable when a Christian is around. Have you ever noticed somebody's conversation? They don't know you're there, their back is turned to you. And they're saying things and bragging of the sins that they've committed and stuff. And then, somehow, they realize a Christian is there. And they try really hard, really quick, to swerve away from their boasting of their sinful nature. Makes them uncomfortable. Did I do that to them? No. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. And now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me, hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no other man did, they had not sinned. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that was written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. He shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. You know, he was speaking to his disciples there, from the beginning of Christ's ministry. I wasn't with Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. I wasn't with Christ when he performed the miracle. But I know of a certainty that I was with Christ through all the adversities of my life. And I know that He has been with me through all the adversities of my life. I know that I have seen Him deliver men and women out of their sin. Over and over and over. And that same God is never going to fail. I believe all the works that were done in the New Testament, it's not blind faith. It's not blind faith. Because I've seen all those works for myself. I have experienced all of those works in my own life. Those that are without the faith, they look at these things and say, it's not possible. Those things just don't happen. I'm telling you, they do. Because they've happened in my life. And if I will hold fast, and if you will hold fast, they will happen in your life as well. Pastor,